Okay, Proverbs 8 and 9 are two chapters that wisdom or the Bible is personified. And, of course, the Bible personified would be the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if the Bible would be able to speak to us audibly, I would say Proverbs 8 and 9. I'm looking at 9 in particular, and then Isaiah 40. Okay, Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Okay, notice the statements. Him that wanteth understanding. Okay, that's to understand a topic, a concept, an issue, a belief. Okay, whoever wants that. Wisdom says, verse 5, come eat of my bread. Okay, bread is symbolism of the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Okay, notice, go in the way of understanding. The Bible mentions the way of light, meaning that how light travels. So in order to get understanding, a person has to travel down a path. And so he's encouraging us to go in the way of understanding. Now if you would, Isaiah chapter 40. Okay, Isaiah 40 through 48 is God personally speaking. He's addressing man. He is basically challenging man to a debate, to an argument, to try to get man to recognize God. There's nobody like him. In Isaiah 40, verse 12, what God does, and Jesus did this quite often, and the other place in the Bible, in Job 38 through 42, when God starts speaking to Job, and we can gain wisdom from this, is that God will ask a series of questions. These questions are designed to get us to think. And so that's one way you witness, that's the best way you witness to people. Instead of always making statements, trying to lead people down this plan that you have, is that you learn to ask them questions, ask a person a question to get them to think, and then these questions are designed, in this case, to recognize that, hey, there's no way to like God. Or whatever topic you're trying to get somebody to accept, be it the gospel, be it an idea of the Bible, is these questions are designed to help them to realize, hey, I see where you're bringing me. And so here's the questions he asked in verse 12. There's several, but verse 12 in particular. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in balances? Okay, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Okay, the question is, okay, who taught God these things? Was there a God before him? Was there somebody wiser than him that he could get counsel from? Did he consult Zeus and Atlas and, you know, Ra and Mother Gaia and, you know, and the Mother Juno, the goddess, and Nike and Adidas and all these gods? No, he didn't. Who directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught him? Well, nobody. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? There's that phrase again, the way of understanding. There's a path to follow to get understanding. Okay, so there's the idea. And then he says in verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. There's a common saying. Take a 5-gallon bucket, put one drop in there, and that drop is the United Nations and company. and the bucket is God. Okay, so that's the idea there. Okay, so the way of understanding. So I'm going to go down through this morning. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this idea. And I pray that and ask that you'd help each of us to desire understanding. To desire this way of understanding. Help us to follow the path of the way of understanding so that we might understand the scriptures, God, any topic, any idea. Help us to figure this out. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the way of understanding implies a certain path that you need to desire and or travel to get to. Understanding involves the discernment to perceive a truth and error. It's recognizing truth from error. In Mark chapter 7, verse 18, the Lord himself was put out with the apostles because he gave a parable, and then he asked them a question, and he said in Mark 7, 18, he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? You don't understand what I was saying? Do ye not perceive? Okay, so he was, there's times where the Lord did get put out with the apostles because they were getting the inside scoop, as they say. And yet they were still wondering about some things. Understanding involves the discernment to perceive truth from error. It involves the ability to personally research and then consider the options. Okay, in America, Americans worship the God of education. For some reason, Americans feel that if you sit in a desk a certain amount of time, listening to someone called a teacher, you're smart. Right. Okay? Any politician, be they liberal, be they conservative, if they talk about raising taxes for education, nobody disagrees. Why? Because that's a god. But why is it that you have to sit behind a desk and get a diploma? A diploma in order to be accepted, when why can't you read a book? Why can't you study it personally? Why can't you go to an individual and, shall we say, get a private tutor on that idea or subject? Okay, and that's just our culture where the Bible, and again, it's following the Bible because it says the Greeks seek after knowledge. Okay, and so that's the idea, that's where it's at. Now, understanding an idea or a concept. If you think you really understand something, an idea, a belief, an issue, write about it. Put it in writing and you quickly realize, man, I don't understand this like I think I did. Okay? Try to put it in writing or try to explain it to somebody. Very simply. Explain it in, you know, very short time. And that will prove that you understand it. In Luke 2, verse 47, Jesus Christ, 12-year-old kid, he was in front of the doctors of his day, the doctors and lawyers of his day. This is doctors of theology, things like that. And it says that they were astonished at his understanding and answers. Okay, that he followed that way of understanding. Okay, understanding an idea, a concept, allows a person to explain it with clarity. It is when the idea, the faith, or the belief becomes personally held by the individual. Actually, it is the goal that God has for every person. Okay, he wants each and every one of us to personally understand what we believe, why we believe it, and then what we can do with it, how we live it. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. If you got charged in a court of law for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I mean, think about that. Okay? Religion is a body of people claiming to believe an idea, but really none of them can really explain it. Okay? Faith, personal faith, is mine personally. I believe this, and this is why I believe this. Okay, understanding any area of life actually involves a do-it-yourself attitude. Okay, I am raised in a farm, a country kid. You know, I like to learn to do things myself. I would rather do it myself than pay somebody to do it because I'm of the belief that I care more about that idea or job or whatever it is than that person does. I don't care how well you pay the guy. And when you walk away, you just don't know what they're doing. I just like to do it myself. Now, there's a lot of problem with that, is that you have the school of hard knocks that has a high tuition rate in that you found out you did it wrong, you got to do it again. That's tuition rates, okay? That's the school of hard knocks. Okay, but I still like to do it. Several years ago, down at Rensselaer Church, we had this water boiler heating system. And so during church, you'd hear the pipes crinkling all through the church. And I'm like, ah. And the thing was getting all worn out and old. And I said, we got to replace this thing. I want to get a forced air system. And, you know, I've seen some of the heating and cooling guys. And some of them are really sharp fellas. But then some of them, you know, I'm just thinking, I think I could figure this out. And so I just did my homework, went to Fort County, had them, showed them what I wanted. They gave me out the layout plan, ordered all the stuff, and installed it myself. Fortunately, the furnace part, Bill and Milton helped install that part, but most of it did it myself. Laid out the trunk work, did everything, because I like to do things myself. In the last couple weeks, John and I have been working on an engine on my truck, doing it ourselves. Talking to ourselves quite often, especially when we had certain setbacks, and so forth and so on. I just like to do things myself. You might surprise some folks that when you discover that a lot of occupations have what are called trade secrets. What trade secrets are, it's job security. That's what it is. And if you would look at Psalms 32, verse 8 and 9, a lot of people, they just don't seem, they trust people too much. I'm going to go to the doctor, the doctor's going to tell me what's wrong with me. Well, I know what's wrong with me. My arm fell off. You know, several years ago, in 07, you know, I tore my Achilles tendon, you know, it felt like somebody kicked me in the back of the heel. And I pretty well knew what happened. But, you know, you got to follow this medical protocol. So I'm up in the hospital up there and going to get an MRI. And here's an Oriental guy. And I said, I think I tore my Achilles tendon. He just looks at me like, okay. He gets an MRI. He comes back. He said, you tore your Achilles tendon. Yeah, I think I told you that. And then I get a bill for $3,000. Okay. Why? People strapped into that. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Now, obviously, I was not raised Roman Catholic, but I'll tell you one reason I would not want to be a Roman Catholic is because you are strapped into the priest. The only way you can learn anything is from that guy. And you don't know if he's hoo-hoo. You're sure about that. Okay, and that would be one way I'd want to be away from that. And so the amazing thing is that when a believer believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes in her body, they have the inside track to get the hidden secrets. And it's not in a seminary or Christian college. And you know what? A lot of times what you learn is that when you discover the so-called hidden secrets of an occupation, it's not as hard as you think it is. A lot of it is that way. Okay? I tell, you know, people see the house I built, the log house, and then I tell them I took a two-day class. 2 days. And learned the logic or the technique of building a log home. Now, obviously, it took longer to build it than that. And I still continue to do research, try to learn something. But a lot of times you think things are harder than they are, and they're really not. But the problem is we don't have the time a lot of times. I was I just got a real tickle out of when I was walking through a half mile water, and I'm looking down there, and I see this guy up and down, up and down, up and down. And Mike is working on his truck, changing the clutch. And then he had all his bees pulled up by the road, and he had all his chickens up by the road. And I'm thinking, look at that. He is just working hard, a self-starter, doing what he wants to, and had it all planned, and he had everything. You're walking a half mile through water to get to his house. I don't think he was going to quickly run to the parts store and get parts. take his, canoe to get to the edge, call somebody up, I mean, I admire that. I admire people that search things out and try to study on their own. And what is that? What is that? That is seeking understanding. Not only in areas of the Bible, but understanding in all areas of life. Understanding is a perception of the intended meaning of words with its significance or cause. In actuality, understanding becomes an informal agreement or an unspoken agreement with whatever the words are or the concept is. That's when you understand it. In order to do that, you have to consider it. You have to think carefully about it. You got to believe or think about it. You got to take into account what is making a judgment call here. And you have to look at it very attentively. And this is what God says is the way to understand Him. And a lot of people just don't want to take the time. So I'm going to give you some thoughts about this way of understanding. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 2. The first thought, there are three vital steps to please God. Three vital steps. I mean, three is a common number, and if you just look at numerology, you can see how God works, and the devil works with numerology also. But three is obviously usually a number that signifies the completeness of something, where you have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, and three is very important. And so you got the big three, and the big three are knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You'll see those three all through Proverbs. Knowledge first, wisdom second, understanding third. Those three is the common completion of something. Okay, where you have past, present, and future. You got three there. Okay, you have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You have top, middle, and bottom. Okay, and so you got three parts to hell, you got three parts to heaven. What makes a family is a man, a woman, and a child. It's amazing, you got to get real simple these days. Some folks can't figure that out yet. Really getting difficult. A male, a female, and a child, that makes a family. You have more children, that makes a bigger family. Okay, and so three is a common thing. Knowledge is knowing the facts or topic. Okay, knowledge is book knowledge. You know, some folks are book smart, but their common sense is not where the book smart is. Okay, that's where wisdom steps in. Wisdom is the common sense application of the knowledge. It's knowing what I do with this knowledge. That's wisdom. Knowledge is knowing the facts, the what. Wisdom is knowing the how. Okay, what do I do with this apparatus called a gun? Well, one thing, I don't look down the barrel. Okay, that's lack of wisdom. Understanding is knowing the why. Okay, knowledge is studying flying. Okay, maybe practicing on a simulator on a computer. Okay, wisdom is taking lessons and actually getting experience of flying. Understanding is when you study aerodynamics. You understand about when wind crosses over the wing and it creates lift because of the compression of air, and it creates lift of this object that's very heavy. Okay, that's understanding, where you could actually explain how this heavy 747 or 777 can actually come up off the ground. It's a fascinating. It just amazes me. I remember as a kid when we'd ever go up to the airport, when you didn't have to go through all the security checks, where you can just sit there and watch them planes go in and out and in and out. And it was always fascinating to me. But that's where wisdom steps in. Okay, if you would, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Wisdom, or understanding, is where God wants each of us to get. He says this in 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That one I have on a little plastic sign. That's my favorite sign to hold, because bragging about Jesus Christ. This is the true God. Jesus Christ. Okay, and so the big three are knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The second thought is this: the children are people of no understanding. In actuality, what they're doing is they're failing God. They are not considering God. They may consider a religion or a belief system, but when it's not understanding, they are actually failing God. And God is upset with a people when they do not have understanding. That was his beef he had with the Jews in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 32, where he says in verse 28, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them." That's Israel. Now, I've been to Israel. People call it the Holy Land, but it's not holy. It's very socialist-minded and very perverted. See, years ago, my wife and I flew to Switzerland, and Nico picked us up. We're driving through an area of Zurich, and, oh, man, you see these signs, triple X, triple X, triple X, nudity, triple X. And Nico says, "We're in the Jewish section." And then when you go into Israel and you see this so-called Holy Land and you see triple X, XXXX, nudity, that's Israel. Okay, and they are without understanding. And of course, in this age, they're enemies of the gospel. Now, children of no understanding, like Psalm 32, where it says that we're like a horse or mule that we have to be led. Now, God himself dislikes this idea that you are strapped into a body of people. Luke chapter 11, verse 52, in any culture, basically, he says, Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge." I said that one time in a bankruptcy hearing where you had a U.S. attorney and another attorney, and I had my father garb on where I put on this back around collar, and boy, you could pass out gospel tracts in South Bend real easy that way. And they said, "Thank you, Father." And I said, "Bless you, my child." You know, I give them a wise marrying track, wise Mary crying track. And so here I'm sitting there, and the U.S. attorney asked if anybody had a question. I said, "Yeah, I got a question." I said, I really don't trust this man up here, he's this attorney, because Jesus said, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." And of course, that went over like a lead balloon. But what have they taken? They've taken away the key of knowledge, because in order to understand any law, you have to go to a lawyer. Why can't you read it yourself? It's not as hard as they make it. They've taken away the key of knowledge. What's the key of knowledge? The key of knowledge is a key that you unlock a door. When you unlock that door, then God has a choice of walking in to give you understanding. Doesn't say he's going to, but he's the one that gives us understanding. But we're the one to hold the key. You see, that choice is us about that key. Now, when we open that door with that key and the door swings open, now God looks through that, he looks in our heart, and if he sees preconceived ideas, he said, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to bother with it." He's reading the heart. You see, but this whole idea of where you're strapped into a group of people, this is something that the Bible calls Nicolaitans. Revelation 2, verse 9, 6 and 15, it says, God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Okay, Nico means to conquer, laiton or laity, that's a separation, the clergy and the laity, where the clergy says to the laity, the common, ordinary people, "You can't understand the Bible or God without me." God hates that. God hates that idea. Why? Because you're strapped in to that system. Years ago, a Roman Catholic priest was arguing with William Tyndale. And William Tyndale said, "I'm praying that there's going to be someday where the plowboy knows this Bible better than you do." I'm the plowboy. I am a plowboy. I was raised plowing. And I'll set up any priest and put him up here and see what this book says. And this book is for man to understand. The next thought is this: understanding the way of truth is what will preserve our life spiritually when we understand something. That's preservation. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. If you are like myself, we have a lot of fruits and vegetables, and fruits and vegetables are something that are very difficult to preserve, especially if you don't know what you're supposed to do with certain fruits or vegetables. You know, like tomatoes, you don't want to stick them in the fridge. They don't like the fridge. You know, bananas don't like their fridge. Okay, lettuce likes the fridge, but they like it open. You see, preservation is what preserves it. Proverbs 2 verse 11 says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Understanding is what increases the quality of a person's life. Understanding is the goal of true Bible preaching and teaching. Now, you and I are the ones that hold that key to understanding. God is the one that gives understanding. 2 Timothy 2 verse 7, where Paul said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding." But what's that key that unlocks that door? If you would, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's the key. And this is something that also will answer about belief in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people, when you tell people, "I believe in Jesus Christ," what they want some outward evidence. But there's only three that knows I'm saved. That's God, the devil, and me. That's the only three that absolutely knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am a born-again believer, and that's God, the devil, and me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, I know when I believed in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, and this verse right here explains why a lot of King James churches don't believe a lot of the ideas or doctrines that a Bible believer believes, because a lot of these guys just use the King James Bible. It's a translation. Hence, they don't believe it's God's Word. And that's the problem. They have held the key. They don't have the key. The door's not swung open. Chapter 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that," notice, "believe." Believe. What kind of a belief is that? Head, heart? What is that belief? That belief is actually an agreement. We make agreements every day. Most of them are unspoken contracts that we make. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" If I want to walk together with Jesus Christ, I have to agree with Him. What do? I believe in Him. Okay, a lot of times we make contracts throughout the day. There's no written contracts. They're just verbal. And many of them are unspoken contracts. We make agreements. Okay, you go to a grocery store. You put your little items in your grocery cart, you know, and then you push it over to the end, and you're going to pay for these things. And you take your items and put them on the counter. And there's a person behind that counter that you are making an unspoken agreement with. What is the unspoken agreement? You're going to give this person some pieces of paper, green, and then you're going to take the product. They're going to accept the piece of the paper because in their mind, they feel the paper is more valuable than the products. In your mind, the products are more valuable than the paper. Obviously it is. But an amazing thing that it works. And you both say what? Thank you. Why? Because they felt benefited because your currency was more valuable to them than the product, and you felt benefited because the product. That is an unspoken contract. An agreement. Okay, and so that becomes, and that's what we're talking about belief in Jesus Christ. If you would look in Acts 28, it's an agreement. It's a belief in Jesus Christ. When Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," what is he saying to him? He's saying, "Do you agree that Jesus Christ is the Savior?" I believe that. That's right, I believe that. Acts 28, verse 24, he says this, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed." Has anybody ever told you a story and you thought it was a whopper? I mean, come on, that fish wasn't 3 feet. Come on, you got to be kidding me. Okay, and so they tell you a story and you don't believe them. In other words, you're not agreeing with their story. Oh, cut it out. Come on. Okay? And the same goes with belief in Jesus Christ. You say, well, head, heart, head, what is it? How am I going to tell? You're not going to tell. I am not going to. I don't know. I can't read your heart. God can. And so when a person believes in Jesus Christ, what they're actually, they're agreeing that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's my Savior. That's that agreement between they and God. Now, they're not coming out and saying, well, I agree. No, they're saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the most vital area of consideration that leads to understanding is this one. It's understanding God. If you would, look in Jeremiah chapter 9. Now, whatever topic or area of study in life that God may lead you, if this one is right, it will make the others easier to grab onto to understand. Okay, if this one is right about belief in Jesus Christ and you want to study to be a mechanic, if this one is right about your understanding of Jesus Christ, it will help you understand how to be a better mechanic. It'll help you become a better carpenter. It'll help you become a better traveler down the road where, you know, if your belief in Jesus Christ and recognize that He hears what we're saying to that person. Okay, but Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Believing in Jesus Christ will help us become better parents. It'll help you become a better employee or worker on the job. Belief in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now, we obviously know that. They'll put all the diplomas on the wall. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Well, obviously, we know what that's all about. Okay, the young fellow's always got to show you how strong he is. Okay, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Of course, he's going to tell you about all that. And then he says this, but let him that glorieth glory in this. Okay, what can we really brag about? That he understandeth and knoweth me. Do we know God? And then he says, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now that passage right there is also repeated by Paul in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So this is doubly Old Testament, New Testament. The most vital area of consideration that leads to understanding is the Lord God. Many of the inventors of the past, great inventor, Samuel Morse, on one occasion people were bragging about him, about his great inventions, and he just came right out and said, there's no need to admire me because I just learned some of these things from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, he just come right out and told them, people. And that's true. Why? Because in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says that God gives us knowledge of witty inventions. That comes right from the Lord. Okay, so knowledge of Him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the number one consideration of life, forget church, forget religion, forget all this stuff. Look at Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. I mean, the song we sang, Psalm 50, the hymnal number 50, Fairest Lord Jesus. Can you imagine up in this mosque up here just south of 30 that these Muslims get in there and they're singing, Fairest Muhammad. They ain't going to do that. The Buddhist, when I went in that Buddhist pagoda in Vietnam, and a couple of them, one had that big bong thing. I thought I was watching a gong show. I mean, 15 seconds, bong. They did not sing Fairest Buddha. I mean, this is the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider him. There's nobody like him. If he is your Savior, you can look at him and say, boy, I picked the right choice. I mean, Ra doesn't come close to that. Mother Gia, Oh, everybody's worshiping Mother Gia these days. Mother Gia, Mother Gia. She ain't going to help you out. Mary's not going to help you out. Buddha's not going to do any good. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. Nobody. There's nobody that predicted their birth. Jesus Christ did. There's nobody that predicted the precise details of their death. The Lord Jesus Christ did. There's nobody that said that they're going to rise from the dead and did it. The Lord Jesus Christ did. When a Satanist cusses, he uses Jesus Christ's name. Why does he say Lucifer? Why does he say Apollyon? Can you imagine them saying, oh, Leviathan, blankety blank. No, they say Jesus Christ. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ is unique. There's no Savior like Him. There's nobody like Him. I'm a firm believer that if somebody was considering truth, any area, I don't care what their background is, if I got to sit down with them and show them what I have seen and examined and recorded, it will lead them to a conclusion of Jesus Christ. You're going to say, what are you going to say about Jesus Christ? No, all religions aren't the same. No, they're not. No, all world religions and the founders are not the same. Point out the differences. No, man is not an animal. We're different. We're unique. I can just point all this stuff logically and get them to recognize, consider Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line, what we want to do. Get people to consider Jesus Christ. There's nobody like Him. And when you sit down and think about them, John chapter 20, verse 30, it says that believing you might see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. What is that belief? That is saying in my heart, saying, I agree, Jesus Christ is Savior. And not only do I agree, He's my Savior. That's the belief. It's an unspoken agreement that God is right. I mean, I met a fellow out in Colorado Springs, we were out street preaching. The guy told me he saw the devil. I said, oh, what did he look like? He described me. He was on the bus. I didn't know the devil had to ride a bus. And I just looked at that guy. I said, I don't believe you. You are a bald-faced liar is what you are. Okay, why? I don't agree with him. And I didn't believe his story. But when I hear about Jesus Christ, I believe Him. Belief in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I had a fellow years ago was mad because I poked fun at Benny Hinn and all these other people like that in front of rural religions. But yet he claimed to be a professing Christian. I said, you don't like that? I said, man, Jesus Christ is the way, right? Well, I just think you ought to be... I said, well, here's what Jesus Christ said. You tell me I'm wrong. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, that's what He said. Now, are you going to argue with that? Okay, argument was over. It wasn't what I said. It's what Jesus Christ said. The bottom line, the number one thing, when a person's understanding of Jesus Christ is in order, and that is our number one priority, then understanding all these other areas of life become quicker to understand because that's right. You know why? Because all the treasures of all wisdom, Colossians 2, is found in Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. Okay, so understanding the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask that You'd help us to be people that recognize, as You said, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And that idea, that love, will drive us to want to understand. There's many things that You said that we may not understand, but the more we strive down that way of understanding, then we will get that understanding from Thee. By believing what You say. And Lord, I pray that by chance of someone who has not believed in Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, that they might believe in Him and recognize and agree that He is the Savior. And there is no Savior like Him. No, it's not adding Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and maybe one of them will work. That's not how it works. It's Jesus Christ, all or none. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the understanding. That's the number one thing that the Lord wants us to understand. The piano will play. If you need the altar, it's open for you. When that understanding is right, then all other areas seem to fall in line. When that's right, then we can go into other areas of life and learn them quickly, quicker than normal, because of our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your words, and I pray that you'd help us to be people with understanding of the Lord God. Help us to know you personally and to strive down that way of understanding so we might please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.